Last night I was praying until late. I was here alone. Well, not alone with the Holy Spirit, you know. And that changes some stuff because then He reveals some stuff to you. While I was going through my notes, my sermon, praying, I said to the Lord, "Lord, what do you want to do today?" And suddenly He gave me a word, the mysteries. Suddenly I received the word mystery. Verborgenhede. Let's try that again. Verborgenhede for the Afrikaners. All right, mysteries. And he showed me the gift of the praying in tongues, and He showed me the gift of the interpretation of tongues. If you read the Bible, you'll see it's two different distinct gifts. It's not the same one. The Bible says there's the gift of tongues. Now, this is why it's so key and so important to understand what's the difference between the two and what happens when we pray in tongues. Now, you see, the Bible says that when we pray in tongues, we do not know what we pray. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, prays mysteries. Verborgenhede. He prays it unto God. So this is why sometimes you don't have words, but the only thing that you have is karabush kepramandi, ruskaprach nepramaso, rumasikandri, and suddenly it's mysteries that is unlocked. And all of hell is standing on attention and saying, "What are they bubbling about?" And you know what people do that does not understand the Holy Spirit? They look at you and say, "Yeah, kijk hierdie ouens." But do you know what happened? When the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room, Peter was the first one that stood up and he says, "We are not drunk as you suppose, but we, what you are seeing now is what the prophet Joel has prophesied, that in the last days God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh." Many people, when we start to pray in tongues, everybody is looking for an interpretation. Not every tongue needs an interpretation. There's a praying tongue. I said, there's a praying tongue. When I pray in tongues, Tinas doesn't need to run to me and say, "All right, I'm going to interpret what you said." I don't need to know what I've said because there's a Spirit alive in me that knows exactly what I pray. It doesn't help me. I pray for you in tongues. Then you need interpretation. So I can pray in tongues when I lay my hands on you, but then the Lord will give me the interpretation. But what people need to understand is when we come together in one accord and we start to pray in tongues, there's things that is unlocked in the spirit dimension. Hallelujah. I said there's things that is unlocked. Verborgenhede, that which the Holy Spirit will speak to the Father. Do you know how much power there is in praying in tongues? The minute you start to raise up those voices. This is where the church needs to come in. I believe that the mass outpouring of the Spirit of God, we will see tongues coming back to churches. Do you know how many churches doesn't believe in tongues no more? Pinksterkerke. Why is it so quiet in this place? Now this church believes in it. Even if we are the last church on earth, and I thank God we're not, but we will pray. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19 says they spake with other tongues. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Please say this. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus blesses us with that precious gift. That's what the Lord does. He blesses us with that gift. The scripture says, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." Now again, this is a supernatural ability from God. Please say with me, supernatural ability. Now, I'm always thinking about, when we speak about the anointing, you can associate the anointing with the giftings. Amen? So what the anointing does is, I always seen this in churches, wherever we minister, the anointing, what the anointing will do is the anointing will visit, while the presence of God will inhabit. All right, I'm going to try you this way. The anointing visits. While the glory of God, or the mantle, I would rather say the mantle inhabits. So what happens is you got a healing mantle upon your life. It remains there. Come on. I want to show you something. That's what the mantle does. Thank you, Tinus. This is what the mantle does. The mantle inhabits and it remains on you. Amen. This is why many people don't need to have a relationship with the Father to walk with the mantle. This is why they can perform signs, wonders, and miracles all in the name of the Lord, but it's not God. Come on, I said it's not God. It's not God. So the mantle inhabits while the anointing only visits. You can feel it when the anointing starts to fall. Amen. And then you can feel it when the anointing lifts. I can tell you, I can be in pain and I start to preach and the anointing comes. There's no pain. Come on, you feel like a 20-year-old, hoor. And when the anointing lifts, you know, you can feel it. So here's a scripture. It says that God has given us the gifts of tongues. The gifts of tongues is a supernatural ability to pray that heavenly language. It's where the Holy Spirit comes and He speaks verborgenhede, mysteries of the heart. He utters it unto God. For we do not know how to pray. This is why the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Who hears this in this place? Then the scripture speaks about tongues that needs interpretation of tongues. Now, when you pray in tongues and there's an interpretation, it's exactly the same as a prophecy. Did you hear me? If you start to pray in tongues and suddenly there's an interpretation, it's a prophecy. It's exactly the same as a prophecy. But many people want the prophecy, or you want the interpretation. And you need to discern between the two. Because the scripture says the one is to pray in tongues and the other one is to interpret a tongue. But in actual fact, and here's where I'm going to challenge you today. If you do not have tongues, you do not pray in tongues, it doesn't make you less of a Christian than me. But what I want to try to get across to you, it's time that we enter into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I said the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't walk in the gifts, He walked in the fullness of the Spirit. And He released the gifts into the church, but it's time that the church mature and understand that there's more to what I experience every single week. And the only way that we can experience that is by getting the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it like it is this morning. I'm going to call a spade a spade. The problem with people today is people's hearts. It's a heart condition. This is why many people have not been endued from power from on high for your own safety. You didn't hear me now. This is the reason why many people don't have the power yet for your own safety, because God first looks at the heart. If the heart is corrupted, He withdraws His power for your own safety. Because when you have the power with the wrong heart, you will die young. It's a heart condition. Oh, my generation needs to wake up. I said, my generation needs to wake up. My generation needs to wake up. It's all about Him. But our hearts are far away from Him. This is why we love the gifts. We love the gifts. But there's no revelation and no relationship. Only when it becomes a relationship, then you start to flow out of the fullness. All right, I want to help you now. People flow out of the gifts. Because the gifting is the blessing. Please say with me, the blessing. And it's like a mantle that's clinged to you. But people start to go in a different route. The gifting stays. But it's only the gift. It's only the gift. Suddenly they start to boast in the gift. I'm a prophet. Remember what I always say, a lion never needs to tell me he's a lion. Because now suddenly the only thing that's working for them is the gift. I try to get something across to you. So you can have the gift without relationship, then you walk in the gifts. But when you walk in the fullness, it means that you have a relationship with Him. He blesses you, He serves you, and He's actively involved in your life. Can I get an amen in this place? And then suddenly I'm not moved in just the giftings, I'm moved in the fullness. So what does this mean? Let me tell you what it means. You come together here at the upper room, some of you receive a prophetic word. Some of you see miracles and healings and whatever it is. So suddenly you don't put God in a box. Because the fullness flows from without you. Come on, whatever God wants to do, suddenly all nine gifts are flowing in the Spirit. Come on, suddenly all nine gifts are actively involved. Come on, actively involved. This is what happens when you start to function not out of the gifts alone, but out of relationship. It's all about relationship. Can I get to somebody's head right now? It's all about relationship. You can have all the giftings in the world. If you have no relationship, there will be a day where you will say, I have never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. But Lord, we have casted out demons in your name and prophesied in your name. Go away, I never knew you. This is what Jesus is saying. Because this is what people are moved by. People are just moved by the gifts, but they don't want the intimacy. Because the intimacy part means that God is going to shake some things in my spirit. There's going to be things that will be coming to the surface, and I'm going to have to get rid of it. And when I get rid of it, He's going to change me, and people don't want to be changed. Only then God says, this is a vessel that I can fill. I was walking here last night. I heard the Spirit of God say to me, bring the vessels. Bring the vessels. I will fill it up. And the Lord spoke to me. And He says, get ready, for it's about to burst. It's about to burst. Come on, where's the vessels of honor who's about to burst on the inside because of the fullness of the Spirit? Hallelujah. Come on, I want you to shout hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is just the 8 o'clock service, right? Do you get this? Do you get how full God will fill you up? Not just with the gifts, but with His life. With His life. You are a life giver. Come on, I see some lifesavers in this place. You are a life giver. The life giver lives on the inside of you. This is why Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Have you noticed Peter didn't say, wait, we're going to get a prophet before we're going to pray for you. He didn't say, hang on, I'm not an apostle yet. What did he say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise and be healed. Church, this is why the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season. When it's good, you better get ready. When it's bad, you better get ready. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. We need another great awakening. We need another move of the Spirit. I pray to God that God will start to move in this place. This is my prayer for the upper room. That God will move in such a way that you will be unable to walk out of this place. You will be nailed to that floor until your hardened heart has been turned around into a heart of flesh. That's my prayer. Come on, my prayer is that you will walk home. And the fire of God will buzz through you. I pray you will wake up with such a heavy anointing upon your life that you will just burst out in tears and say, Lord, change me, change me, change me. What I'm going to say now, people are going to think I'm nuts, but I'm going to say this in any case. The very reason why God has given you a soul to experience that feelings and that emotions, when you cry in the presence of God, let me tell you why you cry. You cry for the soul is crying out, change me, change my situation. People that doesn't like to cry, you don't want to be changed. And this is what people stay at tears. But they don't understand, by the authority of the Holy Ghost, I can break through this dimension of feeling and emotion and stand in the courts of glory, full of Him. This is why I always say this again with utmost respect. When you walk into places, people don't even know who they have in their midst. I'm speaking to those, the light carriers of this world. Come on, life givers in this. Where are you, Christians? So full of the Holy Ghost that you're about to burst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you can have a nice cake fight and still be anointed. A nice braai. And you hear hallelujah in the background. Full of the Holy Ghost. I saw our guy was eating boerewors. True story. The presence of God fills that room. The boerewors sticks in his mouth for an hour. And he's standing like this crying for an hour. I've seen it with my own eyes. Pat on the back. Is he okay? Eat your voice. Because the presence of God has filled that room. And when that presence of God fills that room, there's a new hunger on the inside of you. It's not for Buddha voice. It's for the presence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So when I boerewors eat, I'll tell you my story. I've seen it on a men's camp about this guy standing with a boerewors rolliekie. Forget the rolliekie, it was not wors. When he said, hey man, I'm going to eat now, second session, come. Hallelujah. I want to tell you about an intimate God. He's so intimate. So active. I was standing in a men's camp. I was standing in Kimberley. And all hierdie boere manne, hierdie groot ouens. Jy weet, ek voel soos David. Hulle oom. I was standing that morning and the pianist was playing a song about the Holy Spirit. And when he played the song about the Holy Spirit, I was moved in my spirit. And I said, out loud, over the microphones, I said, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll come like you have come in Acts chapter 2. I pray you will come as a mighty rushing wind. That's what I said. As God is my witness. As God is my witness, suddenly the door started flinging open. And I heard the sound. And suddenly the chairs were thrown over. Water bottles flipped aside. All these big men fell down under the power of God, laying prostrate, crying out, change us, change us, change us. That's how intimate he is. That's my God. All right, I'm going to try that again. That's my God. He's an intimate, personal dad. He's a good, 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 good father. There's not enough words in our vocabulary to describe the greatness of our God. It's not enough words. Brother George, I want to share this. I've said this before. I want to share this again. You know how intimate God is? That God is even intimate with your children. Listen, you don't hear me. God is even intimate with your children. My wife Eileen and I, we were speaking about some stuff that God has brought us out of. And last night I was sitting here, and I was sitting there in the back overlooking the whole auditorium. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, the last couple of years you have been doing stuff. I don't even know how I'm standing here right now. I understand one thing in the spirit though, that in God's calendar, there was an ordained time. On his calendar, he knew that I'm going to have to be here to release this now word into people who's hungry now for a move of God. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. And I'm thinking about the finer detail of how great this God is. Well, when our son had his birthday, I'll never forget this. He was praying for an electric helicopter. But we didn't have money for food. And I will never forget this. Those years showed me how intimate my God can get. I'm getting deep with you right now. Come on, somebody. And I heard him the one night in his room praying for this electric helicopter. And I turned around and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, would you rather just come and take me? I'm too useless to supply for my family. I can't even buy my son an electric helicopter for his birthday. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm a bad provider. And I heard the Lord say to me, I have not called in you to be the provider. I'm your provider. Hallelujah. And I laid it before the Lord. I said, Lord, I thank you. You supply everything my family needs. And somebody invited us for a braai. I didn't want to go. But the Spirit of God moved us to go anyway. So we got there. Now, the next day is Dylan's birthday. And we don't have money to buy this electric helicopter. We don't even have money for food. What about an electric helicopter? But I knew one thing. I knew one thing, that God is a good God. He's an ever father. So I didn't want to go to this man's house because my situation was so, I forgot how big my God is. I understood, listen now, come on, I'm speaking to somebody. My situation was so bad that I I tended to forget about how precious this God is, and that He uses situations that seems impossible, and He turns it around. Now, I need to hear, somebody needs to hear me. God is at His best when you are at your worst. Woo! God is at His best when I'm at all my worst. If you believe it, high five somebody right now. Come on. So we were standing here in this man's house, and we were chatting, and he's got everything. I'm looking around, everything that he needs. Everything, everything. There's no worries about finances at all. This guy is even telling me about how much money he makes. I said, thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless Him, Lord. Hallelujah. Here's why I love a copy. Sorry, Jesus. Sorry, Jesus. But in any case, we were standing and he was telling me all this stuff. My heart is just filled with one thing. I'm a father. I want to supply for my family. I know what ministry can do with two kids. I know exactly what ministry can do with kids. Especially when kids see that there's no provision, then they think that they serve a God that cannot provide. So we were standing in this room, and Dylan and Kaylee's not there. It's just me and the mom, and we're standing there, and this guy says, I want to show you something. And I thought maybe one of his cars. So here gaan ek. So we got into a room, he opened the room, and suddenly all over electric helicopters in this room, boxes full of them. And I thought, Lord, I'm crying for one. This guy's got 20. And he says, this one costs me so much. This one costs me so much. I don't know why. I don't know why. I want to give you this one. And he gave me one. In a box, sealed box. Now, you don't know. You don't know what breakthrough is unless you have been at 99 and see God work a miracle when all help is gone. He shows up and He uses those who brag about it, who sits on it. Woo! I've seen this active, personal Abba Father who loves us so much that He gives us gifts to carry or share. Karma. That's what I've done that night before. I had no words. I felt like Job's friends. I wanted to sit for days just in silence because of my condition. But something bubbled up on the inside of me. What bubbled up? A river, a fountain of life that can never run dry. And suddenly it was a karemo shkepri machni rubo soko promondi. Come on, church. Riba sandro moshek hapramandi. And the next day, this guy says, I don't know why, just take it. I know why. Because last night the Holy Spirit, amen, He intervened for me. He was praying for me when I was down and out and had no words to say. The Holy Spirit was praying the mysteries of my heart unto the Father. He's a good, good, good Father. When I'm at my worst, He's at His best. Hallelujah. Come on, you better get excited. I said, you better get excited. He's a good God. Especially, you know what I did? What I normally do is when God gives me a promise, I remind Him constantly. I will never stop. Last night again, I said to Him, Lord, You revealed Yourself to me as Abba, as a dad. You promised, Lord, You will always feed, always protect, always provide. When I don't have food in my house, this is what I do. And I say to the Lord, this will be my lifestyle from this moment onwards. I will remind my situation about my dad. You have promised to always feed me, always protect me, and always to provide for me. Even if it means on 99, He will still do it because He is faithful. Come on, I want you to shout, He's faithful. Praise the Lord. Come on, can somebody give Jesus a great shout? Come on. Come on, you can do better than that. Give Him praise. God is a good God. I said, our God is a good God. And listen, do you know what? I really do believe this. I really do believe many times woman is more tender for the voice of the Spirit than men. Come on, ladies, you can't be quiet now. You have to help me. You are more tender to his voice. I've seen with Eileen and myself, Eileen is she believes completely and utterly that God can do it and he will do it. And I will try to make sums. Amen. Sometimes I just need somebody to, hey, weet jy wie jy dien? We are. I got a badge. Amen. Come on. I said, come on. And we've seen with our own eyes how she's been praying for stuff. Stuff that I thought. The one day she came to me, she says, God's going to give us a car. On my way out to a men's camp, she said, Wessel, God's going to give us a car. I said, so much. Wessel says, but yeah, a new one. I'm talking about years ago that we needed a specific car for a specific task in ministry. And I laughed. I said, Nick, wonder that. She said, but so obsolete. Went to the men's camp and I thought to myself, yeah, hy vrou vir my toch. Wie gaan hy nog luister in Suid-Afrika? Just buy them a car. So I was standing at the men's camp and I saw a message on my cell phone. Bel my, alles in hoofletters. And the first thing that comes to mind is this trouble. Living in South Africa, there's trouble. So I call her and she's crying. And I'm thinking now, where's a car? I need to get to my house. There's problems. And I try to, what's fault? And she says, you will not believe me. Somebody just stopped in front of our door with a car key and car papers. And said, God says you have been praying. I wanted to shout over the phone and said, I told you so. And what many people don't understand is stuff like that that pushes you to a place where you know if God can do it for my wife, he can do it for me. All right, guys, you better help me. If God can do it for my wife, he can do it for you. He can do it for me. Amen? This is why it's so important to be one in the spirit. The one is down, the other one picks you up. Amen? And together, you serve a God who loves to serve. Oh, hallelujah. Who loves to bless. Who loves to be actively involved. Hallelujah. I believe this morning that you're going to see God on a personal level. That you're going to experience God like you've never experienced him before. But I'm just moved today to understand, thinking about how faithful my God is. He's so faithful. Even in the little finer details of a life, he's so faithful.